Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. In our ever-evolving series of positional previews regarding the 2022 NFL draft, we bring in family, not even a guest. He is the managing editor of Last Word on College Football. Your friend of mine, Tony Siracusa. Good afternoon, Tony. How are you?
Hey, T-Biggs. I'm doing well. Thanks for that kind intro. I'm doing well. Hope you are, too.
I am doing well. It is 40 degrees here, and it feels like it's 90, and I love it. We have jumped through many different positions regarding the draft. Today will be interesting because this is a position of immediate need. You have three quarterbacks in Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, and now Russell Wilson, who occupy the AFC West. The Raiders have a problem. They have a giant-sized problem. They don't really have him I can cover. So with that said, we will discuss cornerbacks, which is a position that, being a longtime football fan, I've seen the average cornerback probably go from about 5'10", a little bit over 6 feet, where there's been an evolution of the position. Now, who would you say in this class, Tone, is the best overall corner and why?
You know, I think in previous positional previews, we talked about this guy's really good, but this guy's also good. Maybe there's some, you know, two or three guys at the top. With this particular position, no, there's one guy. There is one, Ahmad Sauce Gardner from the University of Cincinnati. He is as elite as they get at the position coming out of college. He's fantastic. He has not given up a touchdown to any receiver that he has covered in his entire college career. I mean, just think about that. Sure, there are quarterbacks who aren't going to throw his way. There are offensive coordinators who aren't going to scheme to throw his way. Nonetheless, in his entire college career, he has never given up a touchdown to a wide receiver. Had a great year last year. I mean, he was already on our radar with the Football Writers Association All-American team 2 years ago. Last year, he had three interceptions. He had three sacks. He led the FBS with a quarterback rating. Now, you hear about the quarterbacks and what their completion ratings are, their QBRs, those kinds of things. What you look at from a defensive back is, what is the completion percentage against you? So, in other words, for a quarterback, the higher the number, the better. For the defensive back, the lower the number, the better. His is 26.1. That means quarterbacks are only completing 26% of their passes when they're throwing against him. That's just fantastic. He's athletic. He's tall. You just mentioned the evolution in size. He's 6'3", 200 pounds. And yet he still ran a 4.4 at the combine. He's got a good burst of speed. He's got the quickness. He's got that twitch that we talk about, which allows him to change direction. He is a complete NFL-ready cornerback, ready to start now.
To me, he has one of my favorite traits of any cornerback, the ability to turn defense into offense. We've seen a lot of cornerbacks who can make a pick fall down, though, and that's where the ball is. Someone like Gardner will pick it and pick up positive yards where he'll flip the field with a pick, and that is what we look for. I agree. He is my favorite corner in the draft. Initially, it was Derek Stingley going into the season, but Gardner, after the Notre Dame game, I was like, oh, okay. And plus, he's physical and he's fast, but he's from Detroit. He brings his city to the field as far as that gritty toughness. He's not going to back down.
No, he doesn't shy away from contact. He is a hard-hitting tackler. For all the skill he possesses in coverage and going to the ball with the interceptions, he's a very tough tackler. He is a hard hitter, does not shy away from contact at all. He's as complete a cornerback as you're going to find.
For me, it's a matter of not being shy and not making – quote-unquote business decision. Gardner doesn't make a business decision. Mm-hmm. He gets there, and if you have a corner in space that can make the tackle and you don't have to roll help over to give him a hand, that frees up so much of what else your defense can do. Who would you say, in your estimation, Tone, is the best athlete in the draft for corners?
I would go with Kyler Gordon from Washington. There are a lot of good athletes in this group, but I think you got to look at Gordon, and he's got a lot of really positive attributes to his game. But when we talk about athleticism, he's got football athleticism, but he has brought other elements of training and athletics to his football game. He has, at various times over the last 5 years, trained heavily in dance, in martial arts, kung fu specifically. He has trained with ballet teachers to add to his game, to add different elements to his footwork, to his maneuverability, to his change of pace, to the coordination that comes with your arms, your hands, your legs, your feet, your vision. And it's a rarity to see someone kind of branch out and do that. He's a good football player, period. I mean, he's got a very high, what they call football IQ, knows the game really well, really was in charge of the defensive backs for the Huskies, getting everybody in the right spot. And ready to read and react quickly. And that was really on him. And, you know, he's got – we had talked in the past about the football writer Bruce Feldman, and he does a freaks list. And Gordon was high on Bruce's freaks list during the season. But I like the fact that he's taken all of those other elements to help his football game and not just hit the weight room, go outside, run, do your runs, do your sprints, do all those things. He's done other things that refine his game.
I like Gordon because it's funny. When you look at Washington, they have produced sort of a pipeline of talent from, I want to say, Murphy the corner, mm-hmm. Taylor Rapp the safety, mm-hmm. Sidney Jones, a cornerback.
Jones, right.
What do you make, like, the Pac-12 is known as a passing conference. Why do you think that, outside of that, there's so much corner talent available from that conference?
You have to. I mean, in the Pac-12 conference, which does throw more than most other conferences, you look at the quarterback. You look at the offenses, and most of the offenses, not all, but most, are about 60-40 pass-to-run ratio in their offenses. You have to bring good defensive backs into it because you can get a pass rush, but you've got a lot of really good sprint-out quarterbacks. You can bring good linebackers, you know, who are going to stay at home, shadow the quarterback, or go into coverage against a tight end or running back out of the backfield. But this is a conference that throws downfield 25-plus yards more than most other conferences. And so you have to have the defensive backs in order to be competitive. With Washington this last year, 2 years really, it was a matter of they didn't have the other elements. You know, Jimmy Lake was the head coach and, you know, was always given a lot of credit for his defensive acuity. He didn't have the other parts of the defense. He didn't have a good defensive line and he didn't have good linebackers, but he had good defensive backs. He had Trent McDuffie and he had Kyler Gordon. And so he at least had that because you have to in the Pac-12.
Now, we talked about overall, we talked about athlete, but coverage is actually its own aspect because there are guys who may not be the best athlete but can still cover. It's an innate ability to shadow, to mirror. Who is the best cover guy of the cornerback class?
There are several good ones, and I don't mean to sound like an obvious, but I'm going back to Sauce Gardner, and the reason being is because when you watch Cincinnati's games, Cincinnati did not play a lot of zone coverage, a lot of zone defense, first of all. And so when you go back to Cincinnati's game film, Gardner was trusted man on man on an island against the best receiver from the other team. And when you then go back and look at the stats and the QBR rating that we talked about and the fact that he hasn't given up a touchdown, that really tells you a lot about his coverage ability. You know, he tended to get – he did get a few pass interference calls towards the end of the season, you know, getting a little bit grabby. But in college football, frankly, to me, that makes you a smart player. If for whatever reason you got beat, you better grab the guy because it's only a 15-yard penalty in college football. So I still think it's him. When you can take on the best week after week after week and shut them down in man-on-man coverage, so you're not getting a lot of help, you are the best cover guy.
Now, after coverage and, you know, if once the – pass is caught, you have to secure the stop. We talked about Sauce Gardner in regards to tackling. Who else would you say is the best tackler of this draft class?
One of the guys I really like a lot is, frankly, Gardner's teammate, Kobe Bryant. Very good tackler, very aggressive in coming up to make the tackles. Really put his body, would put his body through traffic. You know, there wasn't He wasn't going to be held off by one receiver block or one tight end block. So very aggressive attacking the receiver blocks and, frankly, wraps up like a bit of a linebacker. Now, I look back through his records, and I can't find a time, even in high school, where he played linebacker. But he absolutely tackled like a linebacker. So for the best tackler, I like Kobe Bryant at Cincinnati.
Now, for me, when I look at it, I like a couple of guys outside of Kobe Bryant because he will also lay the helmet on you. He will hit you hard. Another guy, Cam Taylor-Britt out of Nebraska, where to me he profiles as a corner because of his length, but he also has safety tendencies, but he hits hard and he knows the difference of being able to deliver the knockout or the attempted knockout shot or be able to punch the ball out, which is like the peanut tillman special, be able to jar the ball out with your fist or your hand or your shoulder to create a turnover. I think that is an art that should be taught everywhere, but first thing has to be tackling. Now, we transition to who do you think has the best ball skills? Ball in the air, who do you trust most coming down with it?
You know what? One of the guys I like a lot who I think is a little bit undersold, and I think he fits that profile, is Roger McCreary at Auburn. And part of the reason that I like McCreary is because he's done a little bit of everything in the defensive backfield, and so that diversity gives him a different set of skills. I mean, he's really one of the best in the country in as a press corner, a man press, you know, being able to get up on the receiver. And so you're able to leave him alone, you know, on an island, tracks the receivers really well. But also, you know, he's played some zone defense at Auburn as well. And so he's done a little bit of everything. And so I like him with those ball skills because he's got a great sense of the offense because he's had to see it from different angles and different sides. So for that, I like McCreary.
I like Roger McCreary for the same reason, where it looks as though he's always a factor. Like, he has what they call late hands, where it doesn't look like he will be able to make a play. Somehow you see an arm, somehow you see a hand, somehow you see a shoulder doing the veteran move, which you definitely know of, being able to put your shoulder into the receiver while looking at the ball. Officials will never call that. That's a veteran move.
Right.
And I love it. They'll never call, or even like the hand around the reach where it doesn't look like you're reaching around, but you are reaching around to get a little grab. And I like the fact that McCreary in an Auburn offense, in the Auburn defense, because their offense was rather inept, that defense had to log a lot of time in the field. And being SEC, he had to face Alabama a lot. He had to face Florida. He had to face Georgia. So they gave him work and I think he stood up to the task. Now, who would you say is the biggest risk of any cornerback?
You know, I think there are a couple, actually. I think one of them is Kyer Elam from Florida. And look, he's got NFL pedigree. You know, his uncle Matt Elam played for the Ravens. But I think he's a little bit of a risk because, you know, he's getting a lot of good hype. The stats play out well. You know, he ran a 4.39 at the combine. And so that, of course, you know, puts you up there really well. But, and having played in the SEC gets you all kinds of brownie points, as you and I know. But to me, he's inconsistent. I don't see things where he's had a consistently good game against the bigger teams, the better teams. I mean, sure, he's done it against, you know, lower end teams, but that he has a tendency to get beat and to take risks, rely on his athleticism a little too much. And he's inconsistent getting off blocks because his footwork isn't there again on a consistent basis. And I keep using that same word because to me, that's critical. If you're coming out of college, you've got to be the same player week after week after week at a high-end level. And I don't see it out of him. I really don't. And I know he's getting a lot of first and second round talk, usually second round. I think that's high for him. I really do. I look at this guy as a third or fourth round pick. I think he's one of those guys that is either a boom or bust with regards to draft day. And those guys scare me if I'm a GM.
One of my favorite corners in this draft, to me, is also one of the biggest risks, Tariq Woolen of Texas San Antonio. Mm-hmm. I like the simple fact that, like we mentioned before, he's a tackler. But he also, about 6'2"-ish, 6'3"-ish, runs in the mid 4.3s, high 4.3s, and jumped out of the gym at the combine, which was fine. But what scares me is this. He hasn't been playing corner long. He was a converted wide receiver who started his first 2 years as a road runner, as a wideout. I want to see if he can get up to speed where in NFL you have the best route runners on earth. If he has the vision, the instincts, the feel to display that route nuance, be able to say, okay, you know what? I can expect this happen. I can do this, this, and this. If there's that mental checklist, if he is able to conquer that part of the game, I can see why he has sprung up the charts where people are seeing him early to mid-second now instead of like mid-fourth where he was anticipated before the combine. I think that he brings that to the table. Now, we always do an overrated, underrated. Who would you say is the most overrated corner prospect in this draft?
Right now, I'm looking at Darian Kendrick from Georgia. And, you know, I looked at him because, and I go back a few years, he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. He was rated as the fourth best player at the position in the entire country coming out of high school. Went to Clemson. They had an ugly, ugly divorce at Clemson. Didn't go well. So he transfers to Georgia. I think he benefited so much off of the superiority of Georgia's defense this last year that it made him look better than actually he really is. You know, again, I'm seeing his name in the second and third round. Third round, maybe second round, I think is way too high. You know, like, and like you just said previously, here's another guy who played wide receiver for a lot of his career in high school, played both positions, which is fine, but never really made a significant transition to the cornerback position to the point where he could play zone or man-to-man. He really is a zone defensive back, and I think that is limiting. And so, you know, I see his name on mock draft boards as the people I respect. Second, maybe early third round, I look at him as third to fourth round.
For me, overrated is one of those questions. Like, as someone who watched the Raiders and watching their team, I'm naturally leery of Clemson players because that's what Mike Mayock did during the majority of his 10-year draft, a Clemson player per draft. So,
sure.
Mario Goodrich not saying he's overrated, but I'm leery because the Raiders have a player in Trayvon Mullen who to me strikes a similar path and cuts a similar figure where Trayvon Mullen, much like Goodrich, if he's beaten, well, not just grab, but he will egregiously grab where it's blatantly obvious, but, you know, or he will bite on a double move. Like the first little out and up, he bites on the out. I worry about that because with Goodrich, he didn't have that stout defense or that pass rush in front of him this season. And you kind of wonder, you know, how is he going to do playing on teams that may not get home quickly to be able to force early throws, to be able to disrupt routes. So that's that to me, that's one that bears watching. Now, who would you say is an underrated prospect?
You know, I would go back to Roger McCreary because I don't think he's getting I don't think he's getting enough props for his overall talent. When I think he is, you know, could be an NFL starter before year one is over, before his rookie year is over. But and this is going to sound weird. Here's who I don't think is getting enough props, and I think you'll understand why, and maybe is underrated, is Derek Stingley. Mm-hmm. And it's because he's been injured. He hasn't played football since the end of September, and he's battled injuries. When he is healthy, he is one of the best in the game. He's got the size. He's got the 6'1", 195. He's a supreme athlete with just crazy good physical gifts. In the past, he has run the 40 at 4.25. I mean, that's just absurd. Really good in man coverage, really good in agility. But right now, he feels like an unknown. He wasn't at the combine. Because he couldn't do all that. He's still recovering from the ankle surgery that he had in October, and he's training. He's not, you know, sitting on his Barca lounge or, you know, eating bonbons. He is training with a personal trainer, but he didn't feel he was ready yet for the combine. He hasn't played. He was injured the previous season also and didn't play a full season. So here's a guy who is just immensely talented, is so good at this, but played three games last year and didn't play a full season the year before and has spent, what are we looking at? We're in mid-March now, the last six months rehabbing post-surgery and working out privately. We don't know what he looks like anymore. We don't know, you know, if he still has the same agility, if he still has the same footwork. You know, the guy has played in all kinds of different systems because of all the changes in coaching staffs at LSU since he's been there. And so he can do the man press coverage. He can play in his own. He can do all of those things when he's healthy. But right now, I don't think there's anyone who knows what Derek Stingley is right now.
That's a good one. I would go Matt Hankins out of Iowa, where Iowa cornerbacks are, to me, a little bit like Iowa tight ends, where you're not sure how they got there, and you're not sure how they became so good, but here they are, and they're now good. Hankins is hard-nosed. He's a tough-nosed corner, can play the outside. I'm not sure if he is a starter at this point. I see sub-package as his way of entry into the scheme, but I like his ability to tackle. I like his ability to stay within the frame of the wideout. I like the fact that he doesn't bird dog a quarterback while in the middle of his back pedal. He does the smart things. He's a veteran college football player where he's been through it. And I like the fact that he's probably going to be a mid-round guy. Now, when we come back from break, we have a bunch of rated questions because, like I said, they have an issue with this team, and they need to kind of fix this, but that's after break. You are listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Tony Siracusa from The Last Word on College Football. Tony, when you look at the Raiders, and as we talked about, they have glaring holes on the side of the ball, you have Patrick Graham, who comes over from the Giants. He's a Bill Belichick disciple who preaches multiple defenses. and versatile corners, which cornerback do you think fits the versatile scheme definition best?
I think if you're the Raiders, you want to look at somebody like Trent McDuffie from Washington. Now, the downside to McDuffie is he's 5'11", but that is the only real downside you're going to find in his game. He's got the versatility because he actually in high school played both safety and corner, and he did so for a year also at Washington. Now, he is a cornerback, but he is versatile. He can play the zone. He can play man-to-man. He is very aggressive. You do have an issue with, you know, his size. He's not going to get any bigger. And so you're going to have an issue in matchups with taller receivers, maybe some tight ends. But he is physical enough to play against the tight ends. And he's got this great quality. When you watch him in coverage and you watch his fluid steps as he backpedals and he transitions to the side or to move up into coverage, he's got that quick twitch and that speed. And I think someone like him, again, you know, as we talk about every week, depends, you know, what position the Raiders want to use those early draft picks on. But, you know, someone like McDuffie is going to be available in the second, you know, mid to late second round, maybe early third. And I think he's a steal with that.
Now, I like McDuffie too, and I like the fact that he can play a little bit of both. I would say a guy we talked about earlier, Cam Taylor-Britt from Nebraska, where in the Giants defense last year, you had Jabril Preppers who could cover the slot, could cover the outside, could cover tight ends. Somebody like Taylor-Britt won't cost the Raiders a whole lot. I'm guessing third, maybe early fourth. And I like the fact that he brings that hard work ethic because the Raiders defense is about to go through some things. They have to face so many quality wide receivers just getting out of the AFC West. That's a problem, and they have an issue. Now, speaking of, how many cornerbacks do you envision the Raiders drafting, and how many should they draft?
I think they should be looking at two. And I think that there's enough depth at the position coming into the draft that you're not having to look at using, you know, your first couple of draft picks on doing it. You can go get a Mekhi Wright out of Oregon with a fourth or fifth round pick. You know, you can get guys like, Jack Jones from Arizona State, who I really like. He's got good field awareness. He's got really good physical ability. And you can go get someone like him or Alante Taylor from Tennessee. You can go get those guys late third to mid fourth, even late fourth round. And so I think they should be looking at taking two.
I think two is good because even if they're in on Stephon Gilmore or Stephon Gilmore, they still have one of the worst cornerback rooms in that whole conference. Now, speaking of worst and best, as we know that Tony has relocated to the Southeast, what has been the biggest adjustment you've had to make?
One, the weather. As I was talking to some NFL scouts a little while ago about the pro day at UCLA and what they were seeing, and I was seeing some videos, and it was blue skies and warm. And I think the overnight temperature here in Charlotte a couple days ago was like 20 degrees. So there's a little bit of a weather adjustment. And I'll say this also, the drivers here are very genteel. They obey things like speed limit signs as opposed to Los Angeles where, you know, it's you're all in for yourself and everybody else get out of the way. So I'm going to have to be mindful to follow all posted traffic signs around here, which is not something you get used to growing up in Los Angeles.
What do you have coming up on the last word on college football?
Last word on college football, we've got a lot of spring camp coverage starting because by next week, pretty much everybody is in. Later this week, we will have our first coverage ever of Wake Forest football as the coaching staff tomorrow has their first press conferences, and then camp starts the next day. So we'll have some of that, and we are looking at right now we've got something up on Penn State. We've got West Virginia. We've got a bunch of teams coming up as we start spring camp.
The preeminent voice in college football, Tony Siracusa from The Last Word on College Football. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast.
Always glad to do it, my friend.
This has been another episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.